Welcome to Our Life in Transition. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast deals with issues about LGBT families and trans-specific topics. We would love to hear from you and welcome your questions and comments. However, we will not tolerate any discriminatory language or hate speech. So please, just don't do it. Enjoy the show.
It's a real danger for everyone. Nobody should tolerate this kind of behavior from professionals that we as taxpayers pay. We pay them. Nobody should tolerate this, regardless of race, regardless of where you live in the country. Nobody should be okay with this level of unprofessionalism, incompetence, violence, and very real danger. When we were kids, we met at camp.
After college, we got married.
10 years later, we finally had a baby.
That same year, I came out as trans.
This is the story of our journey.
Through marriage,
parenting,
gender,
and all the changes that life brings.
This is
Our Life in Transition. Not good of Mary Poppins.
Oh.
Fox hunting.
Yeah, I mean, that's a little, It's elitist and it's animal cruelty.
Yes. Yeah.
And also, you know.
It's but funny. I mean, I guess.
If you were to believe Roger Rabbit theology, it's also racist, so.
I guess, I mean, I guess because, you know, they're cartoons and they're riding carousel horses and shit like that. And I guess supercalifragilistic.
I don't know what she gave those kids, kind of, but that was like, a crazy redeem. Fever dream. They were drugged out of their damn minds.
But it's actually after that that she gives them the drugs. Because after they get wet, that she gives them the cough syrup.
Weren't they flying at some point? Did she have to bring them down?
Well, that was at Uncle Albert's when they were laughing.
Yeah, I bet they were laughing. They were high as a kite and laughing. You're right. Fucking Mary Poppins.
Well, now you've just ruined Mary Poppins.
I love Mary Poppins.
Anyway.
Anyway, hello. That was a minute and a half of nonsense.
Yes.
Good job. Okay.
We should probably edit that.
I might just leave it in so that, you know.
You keep saying that you're going to edit stuff out of this and then you keep leaving it in. You're I'm going to edit that and then you just leave it in.
I know, because when I'm editing.
Along with the commentary that you're going to edit it, but you don't.
I know, but then I get into the edit. I'm like, oh, that's funny. I want to leave it. Anyway.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Shannon.
Welcome to another exciting episode of
Our Life in Transition. Bonkers fucking beginning of the thing. Anyway.
Yes.
How are you feeling?
Like hot garbage.
Stanky. Great. I'm sorry.
No, I got my second shot, and so I am...
COVID shot. No, nobody pulled a gun on you.
Yeah, it's fine. My second COVID shot. I am now fully vaccinated. Thank you, Pfizer. But I got my second vaccine. My arm hurts. My neck hurts. My head hurts. I'm kind of tired.
Everything's terrible.
Everything's not terrible. I feel kind of blah. And to be very honest with you, I only feel slightly more horrible than I feel on most days. So.
Fair. Okay.
So I'm not even sure whether it's just a really bad day or because of the Pfizer. But.
Yeah. But, you know, but overall things are getting better vis-a-vis that.
Yeah. So a little intro.
Yeah.
Because we, you know, skipped right into that.
Yeah. I don't know how to segue.
We're going to talk today about the current state of affairs in the good old US of A. You know, get off of us a little bit and talk about, you know, the whole fucked up country.
Yeah. You don't want to hear about our fucked upness. Let's hear about our collective fucked upness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But to that point, though, just everybody who has reached out since the last episode, thank you very much. We're doing okay. But that was very kind of you to just, you know, check.
I feel a little upset.
When nobody reached out to you?
Nobody reached out to me.
That's not true. You have people reach out to you. It's just your family, and they're like, when's she leaving?
Kind of.
Yeah, anyway. But, yeah. I should not click with a pen. That would probably sound really annoying to everybody. But, yeah. So, COVID-ed.
So, Michigan. Everybody in Michigan is in trouble. Michigan is expected to reach a new high because the governor has no power to shut things down or impose any kind of restrictions because the legislature took that and all the crazy anti-maskers took that away from Governor Whitmer. So now everybody's just doing everything willy-nilly and infections are out of control. Yeah, so Michigan is in trouble. Some stats. I mean, Michigan's not the only place that's in trouble. There are 24 states and Puerto Rico that have cases on the rise. And rising cases mean a more than 10% increase. So that's kind of, you know, half of the country. And then you have 17 states and D.C. which are holding steady, which is a less than 10% movement in any direction. And then there are 8 states where cases are actually falling.
Including us. Yeah.
New Jersey's down 16% or something like that, which is good.
Good job, Jersey.
Yeah. There's been 31.3 million cases in the United States. 31.3 million. And 562,000 deaths.
Is that a tenth of the population?
Oh.
I can't divide. Anyway.
It's a lot. However, there are now 72.6 million fully vaccinated people in the U.S. And that is 22.1% of the U.S. population. So yes, the answer is yes.
Yes.
So 22.1% of the population in the whole United States is fully vaccinated. That means 2 shots if you're getting Pfizer or Moderna, 1 shot if you got J&J and didn't die. that's just recently in the news today. You know, people from
literally this morning.
Yeah. People with the J&J vaccine, some of them are having blood clotting issues.
I think it's only like 6 cases though, but it's enough that they were like, hold on.
Yeah, well, but it's in like one like cluster.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to study
why it's happening.
Yeah. They're trying to see what the common denominator, if there's a common denominator between all the people as far as conditions that they have or medications that they're on or something like that. That could be interacting with it. So they've put a hold on J&J right now. But Pfizer, Moderna still going strong. New Jersey has 26.3% of the population fully vaccinated, which is awesome.
Nice. So a little bit ahead of the rest of the country. But
yeah, we're a little bit ahead of the rest of the country. New Mexico is the one that's got the most people vaccinated, which is great.
Good job.
Good job, New Mexico. They have 29.6% of the population vaccinated. And Georgia. Oh, Georgia.
What the hell, Georgia?
Georgia has the lowest vaccination rate with only 15% of the population vaccinated.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Georgia a little bit more in a minute. But, like, Georgia's... the fuck are you guys doing down there? Like,
yeah,
you're,
right?
You're together.
What are you guys doing? Come on, Georgia. So the hope is, you know, maybe things will start to get back to normal a little bit, you know. We're going to go to a baseball game.
We are. I have to say, okay, so, like, we got tickets for the Pride Night at the minor league here in Jersey.
The Jersey Shore Blue Claws.
Mm-hmm. I was, like, so stupidly, like, happy just to get tickets to a baseball game. It's so weird to like have that just impending sense of doing something normal.
Yes. And I mean, it's going to be social distanced and they've got, you know, you can't pick, you can't choose your seats. You can choose your kind of section, whether you want to be along the first baseline or the third baseline or,
I mean, I like surprises.
Stuff like that. But because there's, because of the way they're social distancing and they have groups of seats in different spots, you know, you just tell them how many and kind of where-ish you want to be in the park, and then they give you whatever they got. So
I think the Munchkin's going to have a good time, though. The last time we went was, because we couldn't go last year.
Yeah,
it was 2 years ago, and she was very small and very...
She was just barely toddling and running around.
She was toddling enough that she kept trying to run away from me and tumble down the embankment out behind left field.
Yes.
But...
So I think she might enjoy it this year a little bit more.
At least we don't have to carry her around anymore.
But, I mean, we're still going to have to social... The vaccines are coming out, and it's great. But, you know, herd immunity is 70%, and we're not...
Yeah.
Let's be very clear. We're not going to get there anytime soon.
It's going to take a minute.
It's going to take a minute, and also because nobody wants the vaccine. You've got a good third of the population who've already said they're not going to do it. And you can't convince them otherwise. So, I mean, we're never going to get there. It's going to be something that we're just going to have to, at some point, we're going to have to say, well, you know, the unvaccinated people are going to fend for themselves. And
the thing is, that'd be fine for them. But then there's people that can't get vaccinated still. There's people that still have, you know, medical issues that, you know, there's people that are sick. There's people that are immune compromised. There's kids. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, they're working on like a kid version of the vaccine. But, you know, you and I, we're good. We both got vaccinated. Like, you know, it's been 2 weeks for me. My antibodies are going. You've got a couple days. But like, the Munchkin's not vaccinated yet. I mean, she has less of a chance of getting it because she's a kid. And it's not as easy for her to catch. But she could.
Uh-huh. And she'll be surrounded in her bubble by people who are vaccinated, right, which is the good thing.
And it's just, you know, people were asked to do like the bare minimum in a society and they couldn't do it. It's just, I don't understand it.
Yeah, well. Yeah. That's people. That's America. My rights.
People.
What do you think of them floating the vaccine passport kind of idea?
I don't know.
I mean, Israel's doing it, and they're doing it for, like, everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not... I don't know that I have an opinion on it, but...
Here's where I'm at. I don't think that the government should require you to be vaccinated and you to have a vaccine passport to do certain things or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about private enterprise.
Yeah.
You know, businesses have a right to refuse service to you for being gay or trans or...
That's what they keep telling us.
Right? So why can't a business, say, a ballpark or a stadium or, you know, an arena that's having a big concert say, yeah, you can come to this event.
The thing is,
we want to see your vaccinations.
The same people who are like, I'm not taking the vaccine, are the same people that are like, oh, no, we want to refuse service to you because you're trans. Oh, we don't want to have the passport. How dare you say that?
Well, in some cases.
I'm sure. Well, yes, I'm making broad strokes. But like, the thing is,
there are anti-vaxxers who are extreme left hippy-dippies, and there are anti-vaxxers who are extreme right.
Yes. In the Venn diagram, there is a large overlap.
Yes.
But the thing is, it's like, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You can't, like, oh.
You can't have a cake at all if you're gay and getting married.
Yeah. But it's just like, you know, you can't just, oh, we're going to exclude you people. But don't exclude me. You can't do that to me. How dare you? It's me. Like, I just... Mm-hmm. The... insufferable narcissism is just...
Well, yeah. I mean, and the people that are screaming to open everything up and everything like that, if everybody got vaccinated, we could open everything up.
Yeah.
Everything could just kind of go back to normal. They don't... That's like we were talking about earlier, unrelated. Everybody wants to blame somebody else for shit being sideways, but you have the power to do something about it, and you refuse.
Everybody has to have personal responsibility until it's you.
Yeah. So, I mean, so I'm torn about the vaccine passports. I mean, I think for, like, large events, like concerts and sporting events and, like, stuff like that, it might be a really good idea. And I think you're going to have it for international travel and stuff like that.
That makes sense. But, you know.
You know, and I think that's right because, you know, after all, that's basically how everything spread to begin with is international travel.
The only hesitation I have about that is, as with many things, those with means can access things and those without cannot. So if you don't want to say have the means to, I mean, the vaccine's free.
The vaccine's free.
But it's a matter of if you can't get to a place where there's a vaccine.
Well, and I think that's the government's job. And I think the government has been doing a really good job of making sure, like Biden said, like the goal was to have, you know, 90% of the population could get it within 5 miles of where they live. That's why they're doing it with in conjunction with CVS and Rite Aid and all these, because everybody's got a pharmacy.
Yeah. When I got my first injection, it was like, I was in like a lottery to like see if I could get an appointment. And now it's just like, everybody's like, oh, I'm just going to CVS to get my, my injection.
Yeah. Like, people are going to CVS and Walmart and stuff like that. Like things have really changed within a month. I mean, I drove an hour and a half to get my vaccine. I got it at one of the mega sites. But I did that because it was my turn to make an appointment at that mega site, but I could have chosen, there were local places that were opening up appointments at the same time. And I could have chosen to go locally. I didn't choose to go locally because I have the ability to drive travel that hour and a half and somebody else
doesn't.
Right. So I figured, you know, leave the local appointment for the 80-year-old lady who can't drive an hour and a half, and I'll take the one farther away.
Right.
Plus, I got a half day at work. So, you know, it was not that big of a deal. But okay, but so the vaccines are free.
Yeah.
Testing for COVID is free. Everybody can go deal with their COVID concerns for free.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be nice if healthcare was like that?
Weird observation, Rachel.
I'm just saying, like, it's not really, I mean, and it's working.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, we need to put infrastructure and things in place to make it work, but it's working.
Hey. Mitch McConnell says infrastructure is only roads and bridges. Maybe broadband, if he's feeling generous.
Mitch McConnell's wife's a crook, and she doesn't know what infrastructure is.
Way to state the obvious, Rachel.
Hey, Mitch, infrastructure also isn't money for Chinese shipping.
Oh, shit.
So, I mean, shut up. You turtle. Okay. So, but the point I was making is healthcare. And so let's transition to another topic here.
Speaking of transitioning and healthcare.
So let's talk about transitioning.
Yeah. So speaking of, you know, conservatives who don't want things for other people. Listen, all of you conservative states with your conservative legislatures and your conservative governors, go fuck yourself. Because
now.
No. they can go fuck themselves. They are just going out of their way to be as blatantly and viciously transphobic as possible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And especially to kids.
Yes. Because, you know, they constantly like to scream, oh, somebody think of the children. But in their mind, when they're saying somebody think of the children, they mean the cis kids. Because they're the only ones that count. So there are a number of anti-trans bills that are being proposed, being voted on, that have passed in the past couple of weeks, couple of months. The one that really was in the news was the one in Arkansas that was designed to ban trans kids from receiving gender-affirming care, despite what their parents and their doctors say, because, you know, politicians know better than every medical organization in the world.
Yeah, and everybody had about 2 seconds of hope when the governor vetoed it. But, yeah, he knew it was going to get overridden.
Yeah, the legislature said, oh, you vetoed it? Okay, we're just going to overturn that. And literally, he knew that they were going to overturn it. It was just virtue signaling. And he was like, this is a terrible thing.
Well, no, it wasn't even that it was a terrible thing. It was government overreach, mm-hmm. which is a terrible thing for conservatives. Mm-hmm. You know, because you're not supposed to have any kind of regulation. So, but apparently, when you're regulating other people's bodies, that doesn't count. I hope he says it's government overreach the next time they try to pass an anti-abortion bill.
Mm. Yeah, well, it's...
Somehow it never is.
It's overreach for when you want to regulate something they want. But not when it's time to regulate something that other people need.
So anyway, all you Arkansas legislators are fucking monsters.
Well, here's the thing, though. Couldn't just stop there. Now they're trying to, like, pass a bill that says, yeah, schools, you don't have to. And I'm not sure if it's you don't have to or you can't recognize it trans kids'
preferred
names. And
it's probably a can't.
It's,
which doesn't make any sense to me because, like, I had a friend all through school whose, like, name was something entirely different than what she went by.
Yeah.
Like, and just because that was her preferred name.
My brother's name is Charles, and his wife didn't know it was Charles until right before they got married.
Well,
like,
because it just never, yeah, they don't go by that name. Like, well, then here's what I say to that.
Mm-hmm.
If we're going to do it that way, then every William can't be Billy.
Mm-hmm.
Every James can't be Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
Every Elizabeth can't be Beth or Liz. Like, gotta use full perfect names all the time.
Yeah. It's not just... They're showing their hand, and they don't care they're showing their hand. But the, like, oh, well, we have to protect the children. Because the anti-healthcare bill was about protecting kids from experimentation.
Yes, it was called the SAFE bill.
Yeah.
Saving
adolescents from experimentation.
Yes.
It's not about
because
protecting...
Because HRT is so experimental.
It's not about protecting kids. It's not about doing anything to protect trans kids or cis kids. It's about eliminating us from public spaces. Because...
It's just erasure.
Your next step is like, oh, well, you can't even have a name.
Yeah, it's just erasure.
I mean, I'll tell you this. If there's anybody in Arkansas or any of these other states that has the means and they'd like somewhere nice to go, New Jersey would love to have you. There's other states that would love to have you. Somebody from Washington said the same thing. I know we've got a lot of people here to begin with, but we'll trade you. There's some here we can send your way.
New Jersey might love to have you, but they won't make you feel loved about it. That's all I'm just going to say, because New Jersey is a very hard place, so don't expect, like, kumbaya or anything.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that.
You can be yourself, just nobody's going to be polite.
You can be yourself, but people are going to say fuck you for virtually no reason anyway.
Yeah.
They just won't erase you.
Yeah,
like, they'll see you.
No, we love you, fucks.
They'll see you and give you the finger.
Exactly. It's lovely here. Yeah, if anybody ever like wonders like why I have such a foul mouth on the podcast or like in any of my posts online, this is why.
It's New Jersey.
Yeah, sorry.
So let's move on to other places that are horrible. Texas, I'm looking at you.
Fucking Texas. Texas is what they're proposing is horrific.
Absolutely horrific.
Their proposal is,
thank God it hasn't passed yet,
that if any parents affirm their child's gender, they can be removed from their parents' custody.
Yeah, they're going to call Child Protective Services mm-hmm. on supportive parents. Put the kid in foster care, which will damage them.
Yeah, it's much better.
For having a loving, accepting family environment. This is legislating hate. You have to be transphobic or we'll take your children away.
It's nauseating.
It's disgusting. And how dare they?
It's desperation. It's desperation because they know that the jig is up. Like, that their status quo of comfortable cis heteronormativity is done. And
just go somewhere and cry about it and leave us alone.
Well, and that's the thing that they really don't comprehend. All these people that are like in power now, in a decade, they're going to be gone. There's always going to be some asshole like them, but like the people coming up are not going to be them. And in a decade or so, the boomers are going to be gone. There's going to be some older, crusty Gen Xers. And then there's going to be a bunch of millennials. And then, you know.
Why are the Gen Xers crusty?
Just, there's going to be some that are crusty.
Oh.
It's not going to be.
There'll be the crusty Gen Xers that are like, you can't cancel student loans because I had to pay my student loans.
Yeah, those ones.
Those ones, yeah.
It's not going to remain how they want it to be. No.
Stuff is moving in a better direction and they just need to get out of the way. The dinosaurs need to go.
Yeah. But, you know, and in other states.
There's this whole thing with the public sports.
It's
the public school sports and the after school leagues. And it's ridiculous.
I will never not be amused at the fact that something can be one way for so long. Until you recognize that it exists, then somehow it's a problem. There have been trans kids in sports for years. In the sport of their the gender that they identify as, and there has not been a problem. It hasn't been a problem with adults in the Olympics. It's right. Not a problem.
There have been trans people. There have been intersex people.
Yeah.
They
are making a hubbub and a big to-do about something that isn't actually a problem.
There have been cis people who have broken into one sport or another because there are teenage girls who want to play football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're on the football team. And accommodations are made for them and they get to be on the football team. There are wrestlers who are girls and there's only male wrestling teams, you know, in some places. And they break into that. This is not a new thing.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast before, like, I think it was Texas too, where the one teenager who was a trans guy was forced to wrestle against girls.
I think it was in North Carolina.
No, North Carolina was something else.
Oh.
But I think it was Texas where this happened, where they were forced to wrestle against girls and they won and everybody was pissed off.
Right. Like,
that's the point. Yeah, that's where shit goes wrong. Yes, right. That is a guy playing against girls.
Right.
Like, you don't comprehend. You're making what you don't want to happen because you're not letting the trans
guys. It's stupid.
Wrestle guys. The thing in North Carolina was actually, there was a cis girl who was wrestling in, like, the state championship in a situation like that where it's, like, they had, like, a intergender championship kind of thing, and she won. Anybody in North Carolina was happy.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Weird. But, But so, other states. Montana, Florida, West Virginia, Missouri, Tennessee, Arkansas again, Alabama, and North Carolina all have bills somewhere down in the pipeline.
Basing participation on biological sex.
Yes, basing participation in public school sports on biological sex.
There are other states too, but these are the ones that they've actually like passed out of committee and are actually gonna like go into the houses for votes.
Right.
Other ones are there, you know, Pennsylvania has one that's in committee, New Hampshire has one that's in committee. There's quite a few, you know, in committee. They just haven't gotten that far yet, and hopefully they'll die in committee, to be honest. But yeah. I mean, And here's the other, here's the thing that's such a slippery slope. What are you going to do to determine biological sex? If we're talking about, let's save the children, everybody on the team going to have to pull their pants down? Or are you going
to... In some places, that's what they propose. They have to have an examination.
Or are you going to require genomic testing? Like, whoa.
It kind of verges on eugenics, right? Just a touch. It's not quite eugenics, but it's just kind of saddling up next to it.
You're not breeding for, you know.
No, but it's.
But it's, yeah. This is really bad, and people should be mad about this. Like, people should be more upset about this. The way they're talking about enforcing this is terrifying. Just put aside the fact that it's a horrific thing to, you know, want to exclude people who are trans or non-binary. That's horrific in and of itself. But the way you're proposing to do it actually damages every single person who wants to participate in that sport.
It's not only discriminatory, it's also abusive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Won't somebody think of the children?
But those aren't the children that matter to them.
Yeah,
it's pathetic, and it's like I said before, it's desperate. It's the lashing out of irrelevant people as they fade into the dustbin of history. It's pathetic. It's sad. But they're doing everything they can to hurt some people along the way, and it's fucked up.
But the thing is, like, if they like start this shit, once shit gets passed into law, it gets so hard to undo. Like, yeah, we could come along later and undo it, but the damage is done.
Well, the other thing too, and this is something that they work real hard to disenfranchise Black people from voting, but they don't necessarily think about disenfranchising all the queer people.
Well, because how can you?
Well, exactly. And don't think that we won't remember. Don't think that, you know, these kids who you're discriminating against aren't going to grow up. Don't think for a second they're going to forget this shit.
Well, here's the thing. People don't think about the fact that teenagers...
Don't say teenagers.
Teenagers are only one election away from...
Yeah.
I mean, every high school age person is only one presidential election away from voting. It's only 4 years of high school.
And I will say this, vis-a-vis the limited engagement that I have had with Gen Zers, yet they got no fucks to give, and they all are very politically aware. It's a lot of things are going to change very suddenly in the next few years.
Which is why people are trying to stop people from voting.
Yeah, strange that.
Thanks again for listening to the show.
If you like what you hear so far, subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, be sure to share with your friends and family so they can enjoy as well.
This podcast is made possible by listeners like you. Thank you for your support. So, let's talk about social justice, shall we? People are afraid of voters. Republicans, in 2021, or what, halfway through April, there have been 361 bills introduced in 47 states to restrict voting rights.
It's just pathetic.
Five have passed. There are 55 bills in 24 states that are moving through the houses of government. The other ones are all either just introduced or stuck in committee or whatever. But these are things that are eminently being discussed and voted upon. And most of them are focused on restricting absentee voting and early voting, making registering harder to do. Some of them are requiring several forms of ID and stuff like that to register. It's crazy. They're eliminating polling places, making you have to travel farther to vote, or overcrowding the polls that are open so that you have to wait for hours to vote. And then they're enacting these crazy voter roll purges.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane. It's insane.
It's very clear that the last election scared the shit out of them, because people got active, people got out, people got vocal, and people voted in a historically large numbers.
Right. And this one was razor thin margins.
Yeah.
But the older Republicans are dying off and not being replaced by young Republicans.
No. I mean, there's some young crazy ones, but, you know.
Not in the numbers. So, Georgia.
Fucking Georgia. Jesus Christ.
Georgia. Right on the front lines of voter restrictions.
Republicans in Georgia got shook this past year. They were not expecting
the Senate.
No, they really thought that they were going to hold on to those Senate seats. And
So in Georgia, they're limiting absentee and early voting. They're only going to have one Sunday, I think, because a lot of churches down in Georgia, a lot of black churches down in Georgia have souls to the polls where they all go after church and vote. And so they're going to restrict that because they don't want, not only do they not want young people voting, they don't want brown people voting. You have to have you can't just have a absentee ballot. You have to have a reason, and, you know, you can't have a no excuse absentee ballot. You have to have a valid reason, and, you know, I don't know how they validate your reason, but okay. You're not allowed to give water or snacks in line when people are waiting for 4 fucking hours in the heat in Georgia to vote.
Yeah.
You know, waiting in line for 4 fucking hours because you've eliminated early voting and polling places and you won't allow them to vote absentee. And then this is the dangerous part.
Mm-hmm.
This is the dangerous part. And this is all because of Donald Trump. The bill gives the state legislature control of elections instead of the Secretary of State, because the Secretary of State didn't toe the line in the last election. Now the legislature can decide whether the votes are valid. These are the people that are getting elected, are in charge of the election.
Yeah, including over local elections.
Yeah, so if they don't like how, you know, a county or something votes for something, they just,
And it
blows my mind.
That's the most egregious part. And the thing is, it's just two things. A, all the other first few things that you listed were things that were done to help get out the vote. And because of COVID and the people voting absentee, because they were trying not to get an highly contagious and lethal disease in the middle of a pandemic, you know, as a byproduct, a lot more people voted. But also, you know, people worked really hard to get more people registered to vote. And getting rid of those things, eliminating polling places, trying to purge people off the rolls, are all targeted at black voters, because that's where the increase was. That's who came out in droves, in numbers, and they did not vote for the Republicans. So,
yeah,
what?
That's why they flipped Georgia.
In all of these situations, with all of these bills, it's one thing. And the funny part is, you'll hear conservatives say this out loud, that, well, we have to do these things because if you have more people vote, then, you know, they won't
vote. We'll lose.
We'll lose. Yeah, that's the point. Because most people don't want you. It's the most obvious Jim Crow legislation since the Civil Rights Movement. And the thing that people forget about Jim Crow, it's not like Jim Crow laws said, we're doing this because we're racist and we don't want black people to vote. No, it seemed very, you know, glossy and like, oh, well, we're being reasonable. We want to have voter protection. We want to make sure people, like, no, it had nothing to do with that. It was all coded in such a way that by design, the effect it would have would be that black people couldn't vote. Georgia is just, it's just egregious. And I just love all the people like whining and crying because people are boycotting businesses in Georgia. People are boycotting events in Georgia. Like, did they ultimately pull the All-Star game out of Georgia?
Yes.
Yeah.
And they,
it's cancel culture.
Will Smith pulled the filming of Emancipation out of Georgia.
No, I heard something, but I didn't hear who it was.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, and
a lot of productions happen in Georgia.
Yeah.
Because they've got good tax breaks, but like, you know, it's not good business for them to film in Georgia, because then people are going to boycott their productions.
Right.
So your tax breaks aren't enough.
Right.
But it's not just happening in Georgia.
And actually, to your point about so much filming in Georgia, I saw, this is incidental, I saw on Facebook there was a ranking of somebody in Britain. You said, I'm not using Google, and I'm going to list what all the states are known for.
Mm-hmm.
And legit, the thing that they said for Georgia was, it probably has peaches, and it's at the end of all of our shows, that all of our American shows that we watch.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's, you know, Georgia is a huge production.
Yeah, because at the end of the credits of a bunch of stuff, there's that little logo with Georgia with the fucking peach on it. Like,
right.
Yeah.
Well, Georgia has shot themselves in the foot, and I hope that they choke. Iowa. Iowa, where there's corn, has also passed laws to restrict absentee ballots and early voting. They're closing polls early.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're closing polls like an hour or two early for every election now, which I don't get. But here's the thing. Voter purge. They're purging the rolls. If a voter does not vote in one federal election, they consider you inactive and they purge you from the polls.
Use it or lose it. So,
and they don't even have to let you know that they've purged you from the polls. So then when you try to go vote again, you're not registered. And then you can't vote in that election.
They're gonna limit how long you have to vote. They're going to make it hard for you to vote absentee.
And then when you don't
vote. And then when you've got to go to work, or you have a flat tire, your car breaks down, your kid's sick or something like that, and you don't make it out to, like, the midterms or something. Well,
it's a federal election.
Sorry, it's a federal election. You missed it.
Right. So then if you don't vote in the midterms, then you can't vote in the presidential election because you won't know that you're purged from the rolls.
Exactly. And the thing is, and I can tell you, because I worked on a campaign during the midterms, that's the hardest to get people to come out and vote.
The midterms,
It's the midterms, which is why Republicans tend to do better in the midterms, because less people are voting. It's bonkers.
Yeah. Arkansas has also jumped on the bandwagon. Arkansas has always required voter ID, but Arkansas had this provision where if you didn't bring your ID, or something was wrong with your ID, or something didn't match up, you had until the following Monday, the Monday after Election Day, to go to your county clerk and present your ID and have it marked off that you were checked, and then your vote could be counted.
So kind of like if you get pulled over and you don't have your registration on you or your insurance card.
Yeah,
and then you go to court and you're like, I got it.
I got it. And they go, yeah, you're whatever. Fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they've eliminated that. If you don't have your ID with you at the time of voting, and it has to be a photo ID. See, they also used to have a provision that if you had you could have a religious exemption.
Mm-hmm.
If, for example, I don't know how many Amish people there are in Arkansas, but for example, the Amish don't have their pictures taken.
Yeah.
If you had a religious exemption for not having your photo, you can have an ID that doesn't have your photo, but you can't use that ID to vote.
That's ridiculous.
So your state issued ID,
mm-hmm,
that doesn't have a photo on it,
mm-hmm,
because you have a religious exemption does not allow you to vote.
And you know, and here's the thing, that actually is probably a more digestible example to a lot of people of how it's difficult to get ID. Because a lot of people are like, well, what's wrong with having your photo ID? You need to put like, yeah, we don't want voter fraud. What's wrong with that? And I get that sentiment. I understand where they're coming from, but that's coming from a place of privilege. And oh God, it's such a dangerous word, privilege. No, the reason you don't understand why it's a problem is because it's not a problem for you.
Right.
Getting an ID costs money. It's not free. You always have, there's always some fee attached to getting a license or a state ID or something like that. You have to go get photographed.
Right.
You have to go to the DMV or, you know, your county clerk's office or wherever. So there's travel expenses. And some people have limitations. They don't have a vehicle. They don't have a job. They don't have money. They're elderly. They don't have...
Or they have a job that requires them to work during the hours that the DMV is open.
Exactly. And making it so that you have to pay in order to be able to vote is a poll tax. It's a roundabout way of doing it, but it's a poll tax. And people don't comprehend that because you have the means to do that, you go, well, what's the problem? It's just getting an ID because it seems like such a small thing. It's not a small thing for everybody.
Right. And also, two things that don't count in the Arkansas law.
Mm-hmm.
Can't use a passport because it doesn't have your address on it. So they can't prove your residency. So you can't use a passport. Even if you've got a passport,
uh-huh,
says who you are, it doesn't have your residency on it. Can't use a student ID. Must be a state issued from the DMV photo ID.
I mean, on top of, you know, just being discriminatory,
insult to injury,
discriminatory, and clearly a poll tax. It's also a fucking racket.
Yeah.
Like, you want to vote, you got to pay us. Like, we're gonna profit off of you wanting to vote. Like, mm-hmm, fuck.
Yeah. Utah also has this law. Okay, so Utah has this law, which doesn't seem like a bad law.
Mm-hmm.
It requires that voters be purged from the rolls within 10 days of their deaths. Which... doesn't say you don't want dead people voting.
Yeah.
I mean, that seems like a reasonable thing.
Mm-hmm.
Except it doesn't require any cross checks. So you get a death certificate and it's for Joe Smith, born in 1935. You think there's one Joe Smith in Utah, born in 1935? And there's no cross checks to make sure that you're deleting the right one. And there's no notification sent so that if you're the wrong Joe Smith and you get deleted from the rolls,
mm-hmm,
they don't tell you, hey, we've deleted Joe Smith from the rolls. And you can go, wait, that's not me. I'm alive.
Yeah.
And prove who you are and get reinstated. No, they just take you off the rolls. What it is carelessness.
It is careless.
Because they're so concerned about purging,
mm-hmm,
as many voters as they can.
Yeah.
That they don't put any provisions in to make sure that it's done correctly or fairly.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, and Utah overall actually has fairly progressive voting laws generally speaking.
Yes.
In part because they have uniform voting base. It's like 97% white in Utah. Mormon. Yeah. Like, so it's like, yeah. they don't have a large minority population. They're really, really trying to hammer out of voting. But I mean, shit, it took me way more than 10 days to get my mom's will probated. Like,
it's the minute they issue the death certificate,
which is
it
crazy.
It goes to the Board of Elections, and you have to use that death certificate and only the information on that death certificate to purge the rolls. And you have to hope that there's only one person that matches that. And who knows whether, because on your death certificate, who knows, your current address might be a nursing home or something. Like, it's not necessarily going to be the address that you're registered to vote at.
Just as an example, when my grandfather died when I was a kid, mm-hmm. We went down to Birmingham, where he lived, because my dad had to take care of stuff with my grandfather's estate. And one of the things they were saying, like, oh, well, he's got this property outside of the city. But it wasn't his. It was somebody else that has the same last name as us and the same first name as him. Like, and so my dad was like, this is, I don't know what's going on here. It seems like somebody that's living here. I don't know if he was renting this property, what the deal is. So he left a note. And again, you know, nice area in the suburbs of Birmingham. My dad then got a very shitty phone call from some racist dude who was like, what the fuck were you doing on my lawn? But, you know, states are not always super careful about those things. Information can get mixed up and crossed over.
Right. And well, what if you're a junior, but you don't use a junior?
My dad is a junior too.
My dad is a junior.
And
my dad had problems when he went to get his social security card because he doesn't use the junior.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because his dad's been dead for 50 years.
Yeah.
So he doesn't use the junior, mm-hmm. but he had to use the junior for the social security, but he doesn't use it on his license. So then he had to prove that he was the junior.
Yeah.
And it was a whole mess. But so what if the senior dies and they take the junior off the rolls?
Yeah.
Without any kind of...
And how, to that point, too, about mix-ups, my dad has the same name as his father. My aunt has the female version of their name.
Right.
But she goes by a nickname, which could be his. And they're old enough that Social Security wasn't really a thing. So their Social Security numbers are like one number off because they were born a year apart. And they went to go register for Social Security and... So yeah, there've been lots of mix-ups. So it could totally be my dad dies and then my aunt couldn't vote. Like, it's
right.
It's so stupid. Like,
it's crazy. And like I said, it's not a bad law in and of itself. It's just not complete.
There's unnecessary.
There's nothing that says, okay, if you're going to do this, then you have to cross-check it with this and this and this and this and send a notification. And, you know, to make sure that you're not purging the wrong person. It's just like, just take them off the rolls and let the chips fall where they may.
One thing I will say that is a good rule of thumb for everybody, and I do this every time there's an election coming up. And
check
we live in New Jersey, and New Jersey doesn't do any of this kind of stupid shit, but I check anyway. I'm constantly checking just to double check that I'm registered. I make sure I get my sample ballot. And if there's any kind of problem, I know what to do when I go to vote.
Actually, New Jersey is being very expansive now.
Yeah. New Jersey is doing the opposite of what all these other states are doing.
New Jersey just started early voting, which we've never had before. So that's going to be a new thing for the next election.
And the thing is, like, everybody should be doing everything they can to make sure that as many people have access to voting as possible. And if... The only way that you can win an election is to get people to not vote, then you shouldn't be holding office because what the platforms that you're running on
are obviously not
what the people want.
Yeah.
And obviously you have no place holding public office.
It's all a power grab.
It's ridiculous.
And so I hope that they get rid of the filibuster and pass the voting rights legislation at a national level because that will override.
If anybody in West Virginia is listening to this, call Joe Manchin's office every day, multiple times a day. Bug the shit out of him. Because
for whatever reason. He's the one.
Because he thinks he's the king of West Virginia, and therefore he could do whatever he wants in the Senate.
I don't know. He and Mitch McConnell should, like, move in together.
I know, I'd actually watch that show.
Why? It would be infuriating.
I know.
Two sides of the same coin.
But
it wouldn't even be, like, the Odd Couple.
I mean, it would really just be, like, a race to the bottom. See, who is the worst?
Oh, man.
But speaking of horrific power grabs, let's talk about the cops.
Oh, could we?
You know what? I was thinking about when we were deciding what we were going to talk about. Like, the beginning of the year, we're like, 2021, it's going to be different. And it's like,
same shit as always.
Yeah, we're just doing 2020 all over again. Like
Pretty much.
Still got a pandemic. Republicans are still trying to stop people from voting. And the cops are just beating up and killing people left and right. So, the past couple of weeks, we've been watching the Derek Chauvin trial, which is, I have to say this, textbook prosecution. It's beautiful.
It's beautiful.
If he gets off, it's just because somebody had decided on the jury that there was no way that they were going to convict him. Because,
That's pretty much how it's people been, get off.
Well, no, decided beforehand. Oh. they went in and saying, I'm never going to convict this guy.
That's how it works. Because somebody on the jury says no.
It has been so methodical.
Oh, my God. And on the other side, the I can only assume that the defense has been as incompetent as they have been because they're angling for an appeal.
Maybe. I don't know.
I'm it's terrible. It's sad.
His defense attorney thinks he's more clever than he actually is.
Yes.
Because he tries to his tortured, like, roundabout way of asking questions. He thinks he's going to, like, confuse, like, experts into, like, answering in such a way that...
But the experts are too smart, and they just go, you just contradicted yourself. I have no idea what you're talking about.
And if he does manage to trip somebody up... Then the prosecution comes back and does a redirect.
Beautiful.
And redirect. Just completely undermines whatever he just managed to do. The thing is, like, they're saying, okay, and I have to see what happens today, but, like, they're resting today. And so the prosecution is resting. So they're really expecting, like, the defense is going to be done by the end of the week. And then they can do their closing arguments next week on Monday. Like, he has nothing to defend.
I can't imagine who they're going to call, what they're going to say. Like, the experts have picked this apart so well.
Yeah.
What kind of a defense could you possibly go for?
I don't know.
And then they were debating last night whether they're going to put him on the stand.
Which might be the dumbest thing they could possibly do. I don't know. Based on how the prosecution...
I think it would be really dumb because, you know, to have to account for 9 full minutes of what you did for 9 whole minutes and,
you know, by the time you're listening to this, we'll know whether that has happened or not.
This is coming out Friday, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll know whether he's been on the stand. Yeah. Hopefully.
And probably they'll be done. At that point, altogether.
All over but the shouting.
Is that what you call closing arguments? You call it shouting? It's usually a little more composed than Law and Order.
I don't know, though, because I think this defense attorney really thinks that he's taking a page out of law. Like, I'm not sure where he got his law degree. He might have just been watching Law and Order and said, I can do that.
It's like watching an incompetent version of Saul Goodman from Better Call Saul. That's what this is. It's like
an incompetent version of.
Yeah, no, actually, he was actually a decent attorney. Like, no, it's like that. It's like he watched that show and said, "I could do that," but he's not as good. Like, that's, meanwhile, while we're watching this and, you know, watching body cam footage of Derek Chauvin. Choking the life out of poor George Floyd, other cops are just being complete, like...
Cops are still copping.
Yeah, cops are still copping. Yeah. It's... I did a post yesterday about... It's the whole policing culture just needs to fucking get undone and built from the ground up because it's not fixable.
The soldier in Virginia.
Yeah, Lieutenant Nazario.
Nazario, yeah. Pulled over because the cops couldn't see his temporary plates. A black guy driving a new car.
Mm-hmm. At night in Virginia.
And
in a small town in Virginia.
And legitimately saying, I am afraid to get out of this vehicle.
Yeah.
And the cop going, you should be. No, the cop should be saying, if you step out, we just want to talk to you. We just want to search your car. Not a big deal. You shouldn't be afraid of us. No, the cop literally holds a gun up to his face, turned sideways like a gangster, because that's like, how you're supposed to point your service revolver
at
somebody.
Steve Carell quote is like, kill shot. He went for the kill shot. Like, what are you doing?
Right?
This isn't a movie. And the thing is, he was demonstrating trigger discipline. He was. But he was pointing the gun in such a way that it was only designed to intimidate the guy.
Right. And like, and you could tell that the younger cop that was with him was like, I don't know what's going on here.
Yeah, he kept looking at the other cop for confirmation of what he should do.
Right. They were, the video is totally contradictory. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't know what to do. They're telling him to get out. They're telling him to put his hands out. They're telling him to...
Under your seatbelt.
Under your seatbelt, but I want to see your hands. Tell me how you do that.
And literally, the younger cop, like, at some point, like, after he's already been pepper sprayed, the door is open. He's twisted with his hands up, just been pepper sprayed, his feet on the ground, holding his hands up, but he still has his seatbelt on. He's yelling at him to get out of the car, but keep his hands where they are. So, and the other cop goes to take the seatbelt off so the guy can get out of the car. And the older cop is like, don't reach in there. Like, and then the young cop's like, okay.
But why can't the younger cop reach in there? What, does he not trust anybody?
Because he was in charge, Rachel, and he wanted what he wanted. Like, this guy needs to listen to me.
So this is a police department of 6 people. There's a chief and like 4 patrolmen. The chief and a sergeant and like 4 patrolmen. So after this, see, this happened in December, but after the guy filed a lawsuit and body camera footage came out.
Yeah.
Now they went and they fired the guy.
It's April. This happened 4 months ago. It happened more than 4 months ago. It happened in like the 5th of December. They knew what was going on. And just now, because the body cam footage came out, Oh, that guy needs to get fired. Like, you knew he should have been fired 4 months ago.
Right. And then they're acting like after they pepper spray the dude, terrify the shit out of him, and he thinks he's going to die. Right? Then they're like, we're going to do you a favor and let you go.
Yeah, how magnanimous.
So you don't get in trouble with the military. Right?
He called his CO immediately afterwards.
He called his CO and he was like, holy shit, what just happened to me? And look, I am the first one to say that veterans don't deserve special treatment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they deserve hero worship the way that they get hero worship. I don't think they deserve to be let off if they've done something wrong. But I do think, for the most part, I have enough respect for the military that for the most part, if a guy is being straight with you,
mm-hmm.
not doing anything threatening, you pull him over for a traffic stop, and he's in uniform, I'm going to be, maybe it's me and maybe it's a bias that I have, I'm going to be inclined to not assume he's a felon.
Yeah.
Like, they're like, this is a felony traffic stop and we had to treat it as a felony traffic stop. Why? What's
Here's the thing. He was doing the right thing because 2020, people getting murdered all over the place. After the summer we had last year, he's getting pulled over in a small town in Virginia at night. And so they, you know, hit their lights and he drove up the road to the gas station where it was well lit.
A
minute and 40 seconds. Which, I guess that minute and 40 seconds was attorney for this fucking handlebar mustache having son of a bitch. Like, oh, my ego, you didn't pull over when I wanted you to. Like,
Right, but they admitted that they knew why he did that.
Yeah, the other cops were like, oh, yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah, I would have done that too. I would, if I'm in a dark area, mm-hmm. I would pull over. And you know what? For me, I would do that as a courtesy to the cops too. Because if you're in a dark area and that cop has to walk up the side of your car mm-hmm. and somebody doesn't see mm-hmm. him there because you're in a poorly lit area, that cop has a chance of getting hit while he's doing yeah. a traffic stop. So I would do that as a courtesy to the cop too.
Well, and moreover, like, you also should go to where it's well lit and there's other people around, because sometimes it's not actually a cop. Sometimes, and this has happened, people
impersonate
cops in order to steal your car or some shit.
Right.
Like, and
everything, he didn't do anything wrong.
That's like sexual assault prevention traffic stop 101 for women. Right. But when you're a black guy
yeah.
in rural Virginia, fuck you, that doesn't apply.
Right.
And the thing is, like, you can see on their body cam as they're walking up his temporary tags. So it's not like they couldn't see it.
Yeah.
But his ego was bruised at that point, and they rolled up to the guy with their guns out already. What the fuck right. are you doing?
Right. They totally could have said, oh, gee, we pulled you over because we couldn't really see your temporary tag. I see that you have it. Just give me your ID, sit tight for a second, and done what their due diligence yeah. and been done.
But he was a blowhard in a police department of six people, thought he was hot shit.
Yeah. And there was absolutely no reason. And it's like the guy was totally straight with them.
Yeah.
I'm afraid because I'm a black dude. It's nighttime. You have your guns drawn and you won't tell me why you stopped me.
Yeah.
Because that's the first thing he said. What's going on? And they wouldn't tell him.
Yeah. And yes. And that's the thing. They walked up. His first interaction with him, first time he sees them, they have guns drawn. So, like, okay, what's going on? What did yeah. I do? Yes, yes, I'm afraid. I don't know why you're threatening me with your pistol.
And your reaction to that is to escalate it mm-hmm. and not go, you don't have any reason to be afraid, sir. We just have these for our protection. We don't know you. You don't know us. There are ways to de-escalate that, especially if you see, like, a guy, the guy was terrified mm-hmm. and was completely honest about being terrified.
Yeah.
There are ways to de-escalate that. The first thing that you do isn't, you should be terrified. Why? Was everything wrong with policing in one interaction? Just that. Because that is what leads to all this other shit.
Yeah.
Just that attitude.
The only saving grace in this instance is that he didn't get killed. He didn't yeah. get shot.
The one thing I commend the officer for deciding to pepper spray instead of shoot. But if that officer had been having a bad night, maybe had a bad traffic stop before where he felt disrespected.
Yeah.
It's a thin, thin line.
This culture of policing that we have wherein the emotions of police officers supersede the safety and well-being of the people in their care is bullshit.
Yes. I'm tired of hearing
the cops were scared.
The cops were scared or there was a lot going on. That's what you're paid to do. If you can't function in that situation, you shouldn't be a cop.
Yeah.
That's what you're paid to do. That's what you're trained to do. You're trained to have situational awareness and be able to function. And if you can't, for example, mm-hmm. if you can't, in the moment, figure out which is your gun and which is your taser.
Yeah. You have no business being a cop.
Because there was a lot going on. And you've been a veteran of the force for 26 years. And you can't tell the weight of a gun versus a taser.
So
I'm sorry. It's not. Maybe it was a mistake. It doesn't mean you're protected.
So to that point, now you're referencing the Dante Wright shooting.
Mm-hmm. 10 miles from where the Derek Chauvin trial is going on.
Yeah, and a couple miles from where Philando Castile was killed. When
Minnesota, you got a problem.
Yeah, yeah. It's, you know, everyone wants to talk about the South. It's not just the South. Mm. It's everywhere. And that's just mind-bogglingly, like, nothing about that made sense. One of two things. Either you knew you had your gun and you were, I don't know what the fuck you were doing. Or
you were deliberately shooting, saying taser to cover up the fact that you were going to shoot him.
Yeah. Or you are incompetent, which makes me question how many other times you've done something fucked up when there hasn't been a body camera or any kind of footage around. If you've been on the force for 26 years.
Right. Right. Well.
Because that was, that'd be what? 95?
Hmm?
Yeah. Wasn't a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, the fact that they wouldn't release her name.
Mm-hmm.
Then they won't release any previous incident records or anything like that.
Well, didn't you say she's also the
president of the union?
Weird that.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, people go to protest and the first thing that, you know, reports are like, police clash with protesters, and that's all they want to talk about is the protesters. Because they don't want to talk about Dante Wright. They don't want to talk about what she did wrong.
Right.
In shooting him.
And everybody's going to say he had a warrant. He had a misdemeanor warrant. A misdemeanor warrant. Not a felony warrant. A misdemeanor warrant. And regardless, the object is to take him to jail and let him talk to a judge.
Yeah.
Because you are not the judge. Who knows? It could have been a warrant that he already took care of, but the system didn't clear. That's happened before.
Oh, you mean like when they purged voter rolls? Strange.
I mean,
I love how they people like to talk about bureaucracy being inefficient all the time until it actually might be an inefficiency that affects, you know, minorities. That is their fault.
I mean, regardless, there were other, as with everything else, there are other things that can be done in these situations. Why do you need a gun? Why do you need a gun? Why do you need a gun out?
Yeah.
I mean, in that video, she had to, there was another cop that was wrestling with the guy. She had to move the other guy to try and tase him.
Mm-hmm. And the other cop wasn't out of the way yet. If she did have a taser, she would have tased the cop too.
So why not let the other cop handle it? Why you gotta get in the middle of it? Unless the other cop said, I need your help.
One of the things I have noticed over the past 10, 15, 20 years is when we were kids and somebody got pulled over, it was one cop, maybe two. Maybe there were two cops in a car.
It's a gang.
Now it's at least two cars, at least two cops every time. There's a gang of people come around. Yeah, you know what? As scared as the cops say they are, because they don't know what this person's going to do.
They have a gang.
There's a gang of armed people surrounding you, screaming contradictory things at you simultaneously. It's confusing. Your emotions are high.
You're terrifying.
Scared. Listen, I have been patted down and frisked by the police before. It's fucking terrifying.
Hmm?
It's terrifying. And you don't know what they're going to do. And they scream at you. And they're shitty to you. Because they think that their job is to intimidate you. Is to scare you into complying with whatever the fuck it is that they think you need to be doing in a given moment. And this, they all have this mentality that I'm Batman. And I'm going to rough up the criminals and I'm going to scare them into doing what I want. But the thing about Batman is Batman doesn't kill people. Despite what Zack Snyder says. He doesn't kill people. You know, he disarms people.
He might break a few limbs.
He might, maybe. But Batman is a fictional character. He ain't real.
With emotional issues.
Yes.
He's not your role model. No, he's got not. Serious trauma.
As much as I like Batman, Batman is not, should not be Batman.
But even in our very small town.
Yeah.
Even in our very small town, I am a white woman. I have a shit ton of privilege. Drive a nice car.
Mm-hmm.
I have been pulled over, mostly for speeding. I have been pulled over at night, and I have been afraid because even I know some of the cops. I know some of the cops' family. My family knows cops' family. You know, My sister's best friend's brother's a guy. Like, I know some of these people that are going to pull me over. I have no reason to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But at 9 o'clock at night on a deserted road.
Yeah.
In the middle of winter as a young female. When you have a cop come up to your window and that's fine. And you're focusing on the guy who's asking you for your ID and all of that stuff and getting that stuff out. And then you look over and there's another one peering in your passenger window.
Usually shining a flashlight in your face.
Usually shining a flashlight in your face. It's intimidating just on a micro level.
It's also disorienting.
Having, you know you're in trouble. And of course you're going, ah, shit, I went too fast. Or, you know, I'm going to get a ticket. And you're going, okay, I got to figure out where I put this and this. And then you have to think about, okay, officer, I need to root in my center console to find my insurance card because that's where I keep it. And you're going, is he going to be okay with me rooting in my center console? And then you've got another guy who has not probably announced himself, who you don't even know is there. And then suddenly you feel very surrounded.
Yeah.
And if you're a peace officer, which is what a police officer is supposed to be, if you're a peace officer and you know that you're intimidating, because all police officers are intimidating, they're in uniform, they're armed, they're gruff and matter of fact, and you should be trained to read people's body language. And in that moment, you know what would have gone so far and made me defend cops to high heaven? That cop going, it's okay, take your time. Or, my partner's just over there. It's okay, take your time, you know. Or, made small talk.
Yeah.
How you doing? Where you going? You know, live around here. You know, and been a human?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's all it takes a lot of the time.
Yeah, go ahead.
When you're doing a regular traffic stop, you shouldn't go into a traffic stop. You shouldn't be trained to go into a traffic stop going, it's them or me.
Like, yeah.
It's a traffic stop.
Well, and that's part of the problem is they train officers these days to go, you need to get home to your family. It's like.
And so does everybody else.
Yeah, so does everybody else. And I've had like traffic, you know, stops where like, I've had that interaction where like, I'm a cheerful ass cop, like, ah, pff, yeah, I get it.
And you feel a little better during those traffic stops.
And then I had one cop, when my mom was dying and I was driving across the state because I had just seen her in the hospital, like getting all pissy with me because I wasn't like in a cheerful mood. I'm like, no, my mom's dying. Like, where are you coming from? Like, I just came from wherever, like. You seem a little upset. Like, yeah, my mom's dying. I just came from her bedside.
But see, that cop was looking for you to be upset at him.
At her.
At her. Okay, at her. Because they were going to pick a fight.
Exactly.
And, like, you don't have to be like that. Maybe somebody's pissed off that they got pulled over.
I'm always pissed off that I get pulled over.
Because they're going somewhere, and they have a right. Even if I deserve to be pissed off, I was going somewhere.
Yeah.
Like.
Like, yeah,
it's inconvenient.
But you're supposed to be an emotionless automaton, and they're allowed to have emotions.
Right.
If you have emotions, then you're
crazy.
You're a crazy violent perp. Like,
I just, something needs to be done. And, you know, we were talking about this last night, and I really, really think that policing needs to be rethought.
Reimagined
from the ground up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wipe out all of it and rebuild from the ground up because it's out of control now.
When you act like a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And, you know, we're both very pro-union. But the only, like, real viable unions in the country anymore are police unions. Those are the only ones that really are effective anymore.
The Teamsters got a pretty good deal. But
yeah, but just, you know,
but you're
broadly
right.
Broadly speaking. And the thing is, like, a lot of departments, a lot of police unions, they act like a fucking gang.
Yeah. Well, they, and essentially they are. They're just a sanctioned one.
Yeah. They're privateers.
And it's unfortunate because I do know, like, let me just go on record. I do know a lot of good cops. Like, I'm not one of the, I do not believe that all cops are bad. But I believe that the system within which all cops operate is broken. And so even if you have good cops, A, get corrupted by a bad system, mm-hmm. or B, pushed out.
Exactly.
Because you can have a lot of good cops that get bullied into covering for bad cops or can't get ahead because unless they go along with, you know, the way the system is.
A great example is in that Lieutenant Nazario traffic stop. The young cop was trying to do the good thing and he got barked at and bullied out of being decent by the older cop.
Right.
Who was being more aggressive.
Right.
You know,
And especially in a small department like that.
Yeah.
When there's only six cops, you can't afford to have one enemy.
You know, and it, some people are like, no, fuck policing altogether. And when they say all cops are bastards, they mean you're a bastard no matter what. And there's nobody that's redeeming. What most people mean by that is it's the system. And if you're operating within the system, you kind of have to be a bastard in order to stay in the system. I have a lot of people who are friends of mine or were friends of mine who are or became cops. And when they talk to me about their job, like, there's a part of them that just switches the fuck off. Like, the friend that I have, like, turns off a little bit. And, like, their empathy gets covered up a bit.
I think it's part of the job is that you lose empathy and you shouldn't. They should be teaching you to be more empathetic if you want to have people who respect you and a community that's not against you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have empathy and respect for people. You don't get respect because you put on a uniform. You get respect because you earn respect.
You know, and to your point, actually, yesterday I reposted a TikTok that I did last summer during in the middle of all the protests, talking about all cops are bastards. Because
is that the one that we had a fight about?
The one where after I played fuck the police.
Yes. Cop?
Yeah. And because I was being a little shit, I was, but there was a cop, you know, outside of our house, and I was pissed off at what was going on. I played fuck the police, and
loudly.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't that loud. But the point that I was making was the point that you just made, is that when people say all cops are bastards, it's because the system is corrupted from the top down. And there are three types of cops. There's the ones that are bad and are corrupting influence. There's the ones that become corrupted over time. And then there's the good cops that either get burnt out
trying to work against the system.
Or if they are decent cops and they can withstand that pressure, then they can handle people criticizing them. And if, you know, some asshole like me comes along and plays fuck the police at them, and they're like, I get what you're saying, I understand why you're upset, and I'm doing everything I can to make sure you feel safe. Like, you put on your customer service voice and you deal with being criticized, but they couldn't deal with being a retail worker. Like,
oh my god.
They'd lose their shit. Like, there'd be just a massacre.
Thank god retail workers don't have guns now.
There'd be massacres on, you know, shop floors every day. Like,
oh my god.
It's absurd.
But you're right. In any other profession, you don't carry a gun and get to be a dick when somebody criticizes you or doesn't do exactly what you say.
Yeah.
And then do whatever you want to that person with impunity.
Yeah. And the thing is, like, you don't have to be nice to a cop just because they're a cop. But they think that you have to be nice to them because you must respect my authority. And the reason that I'm like, yeah, you're sitting outside my house and I'm going to play fuck the police really loud at you, it's because in all situations, you should know that you're being watched. And if you are doing something bad, when you get comfortable thinking that nobody's looking at you, that's when people get fucking hurt. So no, all cops at all times should be nervous that they're being watched and going to get caught doing something fucked up so that they don't do fucked up things. But and are on their the best thing. Behavior constantly.
How long have we had cell phone cameras, body cams, stuff like that? They're still doing fucked up shit and thinking they're going to get away with it.
Yeah, they haven't really...
They haven't caught on. But here's the thing. In a lot of cases, they do get away with it. This woman in Brooklyn Center, I bet you they don't even charge her with anything.
We'll see.
And I'm sorry, even if I make a mistake and shoot somebody by accident, if I say, I didn't know the gun was loaded, and shoot somebody, I'm still going to jail.
And again, comparing, you know, being a cop to being a retail worker, she fucked up and shot some. Even if, like, it was a mistake, if she was so incompetent that she didn't know her taser from a gun, which is questionable, but even if what you're saying is the case and she went, oopsie.
She should have fired already.
Why is she on administrative leave? No. Go ahead and investigate that. You have to. But just go, that's inexcusable. You need to go. If you fuck up and, like, you lose the deposit for the day working for, like, in Walmart, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, you're done. You're fired. Next day, as soon as they find out, your ass is canned. No. Like,
I'm sorry, if your register's short.
Fuck, yeah.
You're done. Like, I mean.
But you kill somebody. Oh, okay, well, go home. We're going to pay you. Just sit at home. And
the register being short at Walmart is kind of a victimless crime.
Yeah, fuck.
I mean.
Yeah.
And it's nowhere near somebody losing their life.
Yeah, they've got.
Because you didn't know what you were pulling on somebody.
We're not advocating that you rob a Walmart, but, you know, they've got insurance and it's Walmart.
But you're still going to get fired.
You're still going to get fired. even if they don't call the cops, who, God willing, they don't shoot you. Like, even if they're just like, oh, you're fired. You don't get to go home and just be on, like, leave for a couple weeks.
And here's the thing. Black people are the overwhelming victims of police brutality. This is not a racial issue. It is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just a racial issue.
Mm-hmm.
Every person in this country should be concerned that their interaction with a cop who might be having a bad day could go sideways. Any cop in this country is armed and might have just had a really bad interaction. And maybe you don't smile at them. And suddenly a license and registration please turns into a get out of the car. It's a real danger for everyone. Nobody should tolerate this kind of behavior from professionals that we as taxpayers pay. We pay them. Nobody should tolerate this, regardless of race, regardless of where you live in the country. Nobody should be okay with this level of unprofessionalism, incompetence, violence, and very real danger.
Yeah.
It should not be okay for anyone, anywhere.
We should live in a society where I get scared when I walk into a convenience store and I see a cop standing there purchasing a cup of coffee. I get scared because he's standing there with a fucking gun. And, like, as soon as I walk in, no matter what I'm doing, he starts fucking eyeing me out. Like, every single time. And not just me. I'm very white passing. They probably don't even realize that I'm biracial. But it doesn't matter. They're constantly looking for somebody to fucking target. And a lot of people never experience bias. They don't understand it. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist. And it does. You know, I got frisked when I was a teenager with, you know, braids. But not so much when, you know, I was very white passing with my shaved head. They kind of left me alone a little more. Like, it's bullshit, is what it is.
It's bullshit.
And we as a society need to stop just accepting things the way they are. With policing, with our politics, with a number of things. And start actually re-examining how they work and whether or not they do or not.
We need to pay attention to human rights. We need to pay attention to human rights. And we in America need to get off our high horse about judging other countries' human rights violations.
Yeah.
And look to ourselves a little bit. Not that I'm saying that we should ignore other countries' human rights violations, but before we start getting involved in everybody else's human rights violations, you know, maybe we should straighten some of ours out. We're supposed to... The myth, the Reagan myth, is that we're supposed to be an example to other countries.
Mm-hmm.
If other countries were doing this to their own people, all of this to their own people, we would invade them. Or we would send the CIA to change regimes. And it's
don't,
time...
Rachel, don't speak to historical precedent because people think that you're just throwing out conspiracy theories. Don't tell them facts and things that have happened in the past.
Anybody who is listening to this podcast...
It's true, it's true.
If you don't go, if you don't know what I'm talking about and you don't go and look it up and you call me a conspiracy theorist, I'm ashamed of you.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of you. Now, but my point stands. Any other country in the world does this stuff. And we go and we have to go and straighten them out because we're the world's police officers.
Yeah, I roll, yes.
It's time we look to ourselves.
Yeah.
It's time that we take a look at our neighbors and start taking care of each other and making sure that we can be the example that we want to be in the world.
I mean, that I think that's the best analogy. Is the entirety of American society is one giant police department that thinks that they're in charge of overseeing what everybody else does and doesn't fucking attend to their own shit.
Right. While cancers eat away at their...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how to get out of this.
What?
Because now I'm mad.
You mean end the podcast?
Yes. Now I'm mad.
We could always just do what I did at my coffee break over the summer. And just
shut it off.
Stop. But yeah.
Point is, if you're listening,
mm-hmm.
you are the one that can change this. You, each individual person in this country needs to make a commitment to make their voice heard in whatever way you can.
Yeah.
Whether it's calling your legislators mm-hmm. or writing letters or protesting if you can safely do so.
Or voting.
Or voting.
And fighting so that you can vote.
And voting at the polling places and voting with your pocketbook.
Mm-hmm.
Or wallet for you gentlemen out there who don't want to carry a purse for whatever reason.
Or ladies. Some ladies don't want to carry a purse. And some gentlemen too. And that's fine.
Whatever non-gender specific way you carry your monies. Okay. The point is we're all in this together, and if we want to get out of it, we all have to get out of it together.
Yeah.
And we all have to work together to do this. So, do it. It starts with you.
The power is yours. I mean, that's how Captain Planet always ended their episodes.
Captain Planet, he's our hero. I want to introduce the Munchkin to Captain Planet.
We should totally do that. She'd probably love it because it's very colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I'm sorry, got a little preachy there, but it needed to be said.
It's fun when you do it. Like, usually it's me.
They're tired of listening to you.
Yeah, God.
Change it up a bit. Like, all right. So anyway.
I was the good cop today.
Are good cops a thing, or are you a myth?
I don't know anymore. I don't know what I am. That's been a continual problem with me. Anyway.
Anyway. Thank you for listening.
Yes, thank you very, very much.
I'm Rachel.
And I'm Shannon.
And this has been another delightful episode of
Our Life in Transition.
Bye.
Toodles.
Thank you again for listening to Our Life in Transition.
This show is hosted by Rachel and Shannon McDill.
Our producer and editor is Shannon McDill.
Our theme music is Seize the Day by Jens Kilsoft.
Support us on Patreon at patreon.com/olitpod. That's /OLITPOD.
Your support makes this show possible. Thank you.